I'm just really glad to have other people in this congregation who can take a spot. And it's not just when I'm gone. You know, a lot of pastors don't want anybody to preach in their pulpit. They want to be the one to. And I love having other people fill in and take opportunities. And I love being there when they do. I think that's really fun, too. So I think we should all be very happy and make Kurt welcome as he comes to share the word with us today. Can we do that?
Thank you. You know, as I get a chance to share, I'm always reminded that Brother Steinmetz always asked me when I would leave. Are you going to preach again? Is the pastor going to ask you to preach next time? Look forward to it. I appreciate that. So this is for him today, and an honor to be able to share God's word with you. Can you hear me okay? Is that okay? It's like a little gnat on your, or mosquito on your cheek here. I can't tell if it's working. There was a wedding recently, and as is custom, this family would always have some of the littles, relatives, you know, be part of the party. And they were making their way up the aisle, and the little boy was in front of the bride and groom. He turned around every couple of minutes and roar, held his hands up, growling and this. And every two or three steps, he would do that, and people were laughing. But he got to the front, he started to cry, and they asked him, he said, well, what's the problem? He said, I don't know why they were laughing. I'm the ring bearer. Bearer, okay. Note to self, next time don't. Okay. We've had them throw, you know, how they're supposed to toss flowers. They just wind up and do fastballs. And at our wedding, we actually had, when we came out, they were throwing rice at us. And we had a couple of, was it the pastor's kids that did this? They had this rice and these little things tied up. And somebody waylaid and popped me right in the eye and bam, and it was these little kids. They were just cutting loose on us. So you got to be careful about that stuff, I suppose. Today, I'm going to share with you. Well, before I say that, when Pastor said, the good news today is that I'm not preaching, and he said that. That's going to never be good news, brother, because you're loved, and I enjoy. How many enjoy Pastor shares with us? Yep. I appreciate that. I love that. I'm glad I'm part of this body, and thank you for the opportunity. Do you watch the news? Do you listen to the news by choice or by force? How many of you know what's happening in the news generally right now? And you know, it used to be my papaw, he used to every night sit down and watch Brinkley and Huntley on NBC. When they were like this big and black and white, and you expect if you saw them in person, that's exactly what they'd look like, black and white. But he did it faithfully. That's how he knew what was happening in the world. Today, this is not true. You kind of know just by osmosis or whatever, the news is everywhere. You hear it. You see it. People talk about it. You walk into places where you have to wait on services, whatever. It's there. It's bombarding us. There's a word. There is always a word that's bombarding us. And if you don't know by now, words really are creative entities. Creative, I don't know why you could, if you could make it something tangible, but they're creative. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And all things were created by Him on and so forth. And you know the story. You know the thing. Okay, all things that were created by Him by the power of His Word. The heart believed, the mouth spoke, the Holy Spirit through faith caused it to happen. It works for God just like it works for us. There is nothing new there. That's always God's mode of operation. When He speaks, that's the beginning and the end of whatever His comment is about. It never is void. Every syllable He says is real. It's for the moment. It's active. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. We, through inspiration by the Holy Spirit, have humans who put it to ink and pen and put it on paper, and we carry it around, and it's been revised according to not meaning, but culture, language. There's translations, all kinds of versions of it, but it is never empty. It always is real. It's always powerful, and it always is true. And there's another thing. His word is always love, always and forever. A lot of little offshoots to that. different ways to look at it through the prism and whatever, but his word always begins and ends with love. Even if it's a word of discipline, a word of instruction, a word of correction, his love is in it because his love is for us, you see. And we're going to share a couple things here in a minute that I wanted you to realize how important it is, because it is the word of God from his heart to you. And I'm going to share it to you from a different translation than King James. If you do King James translation or some others, you get some really interesting concepts, how to name your sermon and all these type of things. But I've had this on my mind for some time, and so I wanted to share it with you guys. And I'm going to be using it as a pilot to share some things. I believe there's some things online as soon as I get the rest of my pieces put together and have maybe a group Bible study online, some YouTube things. The Lord's kind of leading that way yet, but as of yet, all those pieces aren't together, but they will. And when they come together, this is going to be the foundational thing we'll talk about. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to be sharing with you from the Message translation. And if you have your phone and tablets, you can look at the Message. But it'd be cool also to look at something other than and follow this and see what more modern meanings are to certain words and phrases. And as I've studied this, and I have a library where I have the big old books, I don't just have online, but I have concordances and words where you can look up word searches, what they mean. And boy, I've read Ephesians. Well, I've read most all the books, well, all the books in the Scripture, but this chapter, it always was, to me, I read it before like it was the introduction of a letter, like, hi, I'm really glad you are who you are. I love you. It's good to be with you. Thank you and everything. God bless you. Now let's get on with the real stuff that we need to talk about. But when you read it and the Lord kind of taps you and says, okay, slow down. Don't jump over this. Take your time. Don't just gulp it. Chew on it. Then swallow and absorb it. And then do it again and do it again. I got some things to tell you. And that's kind of what he shared with me here. So I did that. And boy, I'm quickly, do you ever rate parts of scriptures your favorite? Do you have what's your favorite verse and you have something in mind? Or this is becoming a favorite of mine. Not more important than the rest, but something I've really enjoyed because it keeps giving me more of Jesus the more you read it. And allowing me to give him more of me. But Ephesians 1, we're going to talk today about good news. You hear news everywhere, not at will, but it's forced upon us. But today we're going to pause that. Let's push the button, like we did on the old VCR. They don't know what VCR is. That's old technology. We're going to pause, and we're going to focus, and we're going to listen to some good news. Interesting that the Bible calls that the gospel. You knew that, right? The gospel means good news. Well, that's one of those things where the Lord says, put the brakes on. Let's listen to this for a little. Here's some good news for you. This is about you. This is what God is telling us today. It's about you. Okay? Good news for a change. We'll step aside and stop looking outward or to what's coming in, but we'll look inward and upward. Today's a day that we pause to take full attention to an old eternal truth that we all have known, but we've paid little or become, not callous in a way that, a bad way, but something where we just don't use it and we have to dust it off and get the cobwebs out. It's been dormant, but we're going to look at it now in a new and fresh way. In Ephesians 1, it's going to read like this, and today's going to be what they taught me in Bible college was an expository thing. We're going to go not just verse by verse, but we've grouped them, and I'm going to share a little theme on what the Apostle Paul was saying here about what each one means in the Scripture. So I'm going to kind of read it in its entirety to propose the impact that I want you to have. Then we're going to go back and we're going to slice it up and emphasize a couple of things, okay? So if you have whatever version you have, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, Paul, am under God's plan as an apostle, a special agent of Christ Jesus, writing to you faithful believers in Bethel in Defiance, Ohio. That's my verse. Okay. But it's still true, right? I greet you with the grace and the peace poured into our lives by God our Father and our Master, Jesus Christ. How blessed is God and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down the earth's foundation, he had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love. He settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. Even before you knew you were you. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. And of course, the lavish gift-giving was one gift, eternal life. Through his love. That's pretty lavish, you know. Doesn't have all the hallmarks of the ornate robes and the big towers and someone laying on couches eating grapes and being served, you know, real lavish, opulent things. This was started in a cow shed in a where it didn't smell very good. Because he was cast out. He had to be born in a manger. That's another thing to study, that being born in a manger, what all that means and other things that played into that, but we won't go down that rabbit hole here. But he makes things lavish where there's nothing. In our life, the fact we're born again and he reached out to love us through Jesus. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, verse 7, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishment chalked up by all of our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed it up in him, everything in deepest heaven and everything on planet earth. Now, other versions, you read that and you think, well, I didn't see all that in there. But when you filter it through, well, I guess you would call it modern English interpretation, it's pretty powerful stuff. It's powerful either way, but we can put our hands on it now instead of just looking at it and wonder what all that really means. This gives us a handle here. Isn't that something? All and everything. Not just a little free, abundantly free. Remember, every time I speak to you guys, every time I have the privilege to share, what I want to do is hammer about how God doesn't ever just say one good thing to us. He never gives us like one thing, you can be born again. He always adds multiple emphasis to it, like he's trying to knock on your head and say, do you get it yet? Do you get it yet? We are free. Not just barely free, abundantly free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Indeed. That's not just a company that hires people. That's an exclamation point. That means any way you look at free, you have it. It's yours. I love to give it to you. I died to give it to you. I valued you better than me, more than me, so I'm going to give this to you. Oh, by the way, I'm the eternal God, so it's all yours. You are my focus. Now you can see why I want to kind of stop and chew on this for a while, because I never saw this in this type of a way before. In Christ, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. This is verses 11 and 12. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. Before, even while we were dead in sin, he loved us. I like how it says it. Long before we ever heard of him and even got our hopes up, he had his eye on us and had designs on us for glorious living. Pastor Tim, here's my title, Glorious Living. Glorious living, part of the overall purpose that he is working out. I want to come back to that phrase. Working out. Is somebody reading along with any other version right now? If you could share what that's saying. I think it's verse 12. He has designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. He's working. What does that say? Mm-hmm. Working all things. And that word work in that context, it means current, dynamic, ongoing activity. You know, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to work out. Current, dynamic activity. Some people work out at the gym. Some people work out at the ice cream stand. Some people work out in the bathtub. I fill the plug, pull the plug, and fight the current. That's a good way to do it. It's interesting that it used that phrase here because God's plan is total and complete from beginning to end. We're saved. But there's an active dynamic of things happening here in the immediate real time. Working it out. He's working with us. The Bible says to work out your own faith with fear and trembling. But fear and trembling, I love those words in the real context, but it doesn't mean to be afraid and shaking in the presence of God. Reverence and respect for the awesomeness of His love for us. That's what it's saying there. Working out. He's working with us. Somebody said, well, why would God want you to go this way, but we make a decision this way, and it's not wrong. I got to repent. We're working it out. Another place in Scripture, He said, brethren, I write these things to you that you don't sin. And sistren, is that a word? Brethren and sistren? Okay, y'all. That's good, that word. But if you do, and there are some translations from the word if that says when, but the familiar one says, if you do, you have an advocate with Jesus Christ who, in curt terms, is perpetually praying for you before the Father. Your sins are in the flow of forgiveness. You're not in the flow of punishment anymore. You're forgiven. The believer, if you do, doesn't mean you're not a practicing sinner. You're a born-again believer subject to the temptations of this world and God working with us, the Holy Spirit, working it out, keeping us saved in the flow of His blood. And it also says that not only are your sins forgiven, but yeah, we'll throw healing in there too. But it's a working it out process. Isn't that wonderful? God is working out. Yep, it says here, everything deep as heaven, an overall purpose, He is working out in everything and in everyone. He's causing it to come to the surface. He's working it through. Verse 13 says, it's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed in it, the message of your salvation, you found yourself home free, signed, sealed, delivered. Signed, sealed, delivered by the Holy Spirit. This is the down payment from God. It's the first installment of what's to come. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, which is a praising and glorious life. And a praising life has a whole lot of things that we can experience under that, and a glorious life as well. And it's right on this wall behind me. Heaven on earth. Well, boy, this earth sure doesn't look like heaven. It doesn't feel like heaven. Well, that's because we don't belong here anymore. This world is not my home. What's the next line? Anybody know? I'm only passing through. How very true that is. Well, does that make you better than everybody else who's living here? No. Just because we've accepted Christ and have the honor to be Christian, Christ-like, one with Him, doesn't make us better than anybody else. It makes us the ability to serve everyone better. We're not better, we're just better servants. We undergird people to lift them up, not condemn them, but to love them. And that's the challenge of the working out process that we have, is to love in a world of hate, to be healed in a world of sick, to be alive in a world of death, God working in us. And before Jesus died, death ruled. Hate ruled. Chaos ruled. Then Jesus came. Then He died. And the Bible says He went into where death puts everyone. And He took the keys of hell and death from the devil. And now, where there's death, there's life because you're here. Where there's sickness, there's healing because you're here. Where there's hopelessness, there's hope. And it's not just a little hope. It's not just a little free. It's exceedingly abundantly above everything you could ever ask or ever think free. Now, that's a workout I like when you can see the results from the beginning. I don't know if I can go to the gym every day, the gym of serving God. Man, just get up. Zig Ziglar says this, get up, put your feet on the floor, slap your hands. It's a great day to be alive. The alternative is not to be desired. Well, how come people still are sick? How come people are still dying? Well, it's a working out of this process, but make no mistake. We'll read about that in a moment. He knows from the beginning to the end, and if you're a believer, none of those things will ever be a negative to you, because death just means life immediately with Christ. You know that? To be absent from the body is where? To be present with the Lord. And that doesn't mean you have to go wait in the long line. Can you imagine if we had to wait in line? I'm not patient enough to do that. I don't want to wait in line for ice cream cone. I must have ice cream on the brain, Rhonda. I've said it twice today. We don't have to wait in line. The instant that this body fails here, and I'm going to take a tiny rabbit step off of here about sin in the body. The instant this body fails to be able to support you, this body is not you. This is the container we live in, made from the dust of the earth, that came alive when God spoke His word into it, and the vapors of His breath created a living soul akin to Him, the human being. And He started the only race that's important, the human race, to love and honor and praise Him so He could take joy in being the God of this creation. Of course, we messed it up. And immediately when we did, He said, the day you eat of the fruit, telling Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you will surely die. He didn't just say, you're going to be dead if you eat it. Again, He stopped for emphasis and said, you will surely die the day you eat it. Did you ever stop to think? They didn't have any idea what death was. The Scripture says He told them things they didn't understand, but they knew it was don't. They knew what don't do means. And the Bible says that the serpent deceived the woman. No, you're not off the hook, guys. You knew what it meant all along, and you went along with it. And they died immediately, but they're still walking around. They're still doing things. Immediately, the penalty for that offense for sin was death, and they died. And in that time, it took, according to biblical records, sometimes it took 800-900 years for the physical body to really realize, I can't do this anymore. We're somewhere around 70, 80, 90, 120 years now. But the day you eat of it, you will surely die. The Bible says that sin is condemned in the flesh. Did you know that? Condemned. It's. I don't know if you could even encapsulate it, but our fleshly bodies, while we're still on this earth, in this dispensation of what God has planned, our physical bodies still every day decay. Because sin, the wages of sin is death, our body decays. It happens. It happens to people who accept Jesus. It happens to people who don't have a clue who Jesus is. It's this body. But am I going to live forever? You're already living forever. You don't start living forever when the body wears out. And you know what? Eventually, the body's going to get snookered into this thing too. There's going to come a day, 1 Thessalonians says, that the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangels and the trumpet of God. Hit with a shout, the voice of the archangels and the trumpet of God. The Tonight Show used to be a shout, Ed McMahon and the Doc Severinsen playing the trumpet. And here He comes. Here's Jesus. Now, is anybody here old enough to remember Johnny Carson? I just found it interesting. And we'll move on. We have a time when the dead in Christ will rise. We're not incapacitated. We're not blank memory sitting waiting for something. We've been with Jesus from the second we left this body, if He's our Lord and Savior. But the body's been waiting and went back to where it came from. Well, what about people that got eaten by sharks or people that were cremated? That'd be really hard for God, wouldn't it? Are you kidding me? Think about that. This guy walked where water was. The best we could do is say Jesus came walking on the water. The water wasn't even relevant. Did you know that? I can tell you why it wasn't relevant, because when he talked Peter into trying it, Peter stood out there with him. And then seeing the winds and waves, just like anything the devil does, you step out for God and immediately, oh, stop that. You're going to drown. What do you mean you're walking in water? And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And Jesus, okay, Peter, here we go. And he didn't go. I don't believe he went. This is Kurt translation. I don't think Peter sunk neck deep. The Bible said beginning to sink. He cried. It was like, That's kind of how our faith is sometimes. We think it's faith. We think it's like hyper hope, hyper wishful thinking, hyper. But real faith just says this is how it will be. And what happens in the physical is even relevant. If the body dies, you're still alive in Christ. You're alive. You're alive. And when that trumpet sounds that day, the body will say, well, here we go. Resurrected. A new body. Wow. All complete person. Spirit, soul, body in the same likeness as the Jesus who died and loved us. And why did he die and love us? For all of this. For all of this. For a glorious life. To live starting now, not then. Let me finish through this because I still got to go back and do some of my headlines, but I won't take a long time with it. Okay, this is why, verse 15, this is why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I could not stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed for you, remember, he wrote this to Bethel. I mean, other churches too, but Ephesus, somebody in Los Angeles, somebody back in the 15th century, but it's still written to us. Every time I prayed, I think of you and give thanks, but I do more than thank. I ask. I ask God, the Master, the Father of Jesus, the God of glory, to make you intelligent. Wouldn't we all like that? to make you intelligent. He prayed, I hope God makes you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. I love how it's never just one word. He wants us to be intelligent and discern in that personal relationship with God. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. So that you can see exactly, I don't know what the will of God is. Wake up and move. Whatever's in your hand to do, do it. How many times have people waited all their lives and said, I'm really seeking what God's will is? Well, maybe it's, what are you going to do in 10 minutes from now? What are you involved in right now? Well, I need to go to the mission field. No, you don't. Not if you're standing in your kitchen in defiance and you know you got to go to work in 30 minutes. What's God's will right now? What's his name? Is it, I was? Remember what he told Moses his name was? Don't say it. Is he say, my name is I will be? Or is his name, I am the present? I am the immediate, actively working out present with you right here, right now. And he's the same thing in 10 minutes from now. He'll always be now. He says, I am. So his will am, and you am, and I am prepared to do the will of God right here, right now, where we are. You're not going to try to get a diploma to hang up there. Now, there will be gifts and there will be recognitions in heaven about other things, but the will of God for your life, Paul prayed it, and I think Paul's prayers were answered 50-50. No, I think they were answered because it was the Holy Spirit praying for him. He wants us to have intelligence and discernment so that we know exactly what it is God's called us to do and that we can grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. And then verses 20 to 23, all this energy issues from Christ. Wow, I got more to say about that. God raised him from the dead, set him on the throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to govern. Govern. I pledge allegiance to the flag of governments. In charge of everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts. The church is Christ's body in which or through which he speaks and acts out, does things for the world to see and know who he is. The church is the screen they look at to get that. We are screens. I need some screen time. It might be scream time if you say the wrong thing. Screen time. They look at us. And how many times have you seen some comment or someone has said this to you? Maybe you read it online or something. Well, I thought you were a Christian. If you're a Christian and it's somebody you know that has no relationship with Christ, at least they've not demonstrated that. Maybe they've spoken actively against it. Maybe they've, like some people say, they're an atheist. There are all these other things they embrace, whatever. And the comments that come from them is, well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't do that. These type of things. You know, and do we care what they say? Well, a long time ago, I used to say, just like many of the rest of us, I'm sure, I don't care what other people think. I'm going to do what God says. And you turn around, and the instant you turn around, he says, I prayed for your discernment. There's a way you have to work through and care what some people think about sometimes in this woven tapestry of salvation. Because if you don't care what they say, they're going to be division. And I didn't come to bring division. I came to bring love. Life comes from that. Wisdom and understanding and grace and healing, all these things. But he came to bring love. And boy, that's the challenge that we have when he weaves our tapestry. When people look at us as the body, and that's how they're going to see Jesus. You may be the only Jesus they see. You might be the only Jesus they hear. What's coming out of my mouth? Words. In the beginning was the Word. And listen to the end of this scripture here. Galaxies, governments, no powers except for his power. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all and has the final word on everything. Let's rewind to Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. He has the final word on everything. What's happening in the middle? The fact his word is not void. Well, there's a lot of junk happening in the middle, but his word is right there. The word is a person. Let's get a little deep. Put your galoshes on here. The Word is the person. The Word is alive. The Word was a human being and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus. He died to redeem and free us and paid the price for every sin ever, period, everyone. Making it possible for us to be alive even though we might be dead right now. Even though in this veil, this dispensation, that's a big word, this time frame where we keep time and clocks, body still dies, sicknesses come, we push back, we always get a win, but sometimes things happen that we don't see the whole end of that story just yet. But we have to maintain the fact that the very worst that could ever happen is everybody will be in the presence of Jesus, so I'm just keep moving, no matter what it is. And I'm going to believe by faith, live by faith, live by love, live by the word that was the Alpha, the Omega. Are we sloshing in the deep part yet? The beginning, the end. The beginning was the word. He has the last word. And you know what? He has the word in between. And the word is flesh and dwelt among us. He went to heaven, gave us the down payment named Holy Spirit. Boy, this will really sound like sacrilegious, but I guess I don't care. We give the Holy Spirit nicknames. I got a hunch I need to talk to this person. We call him Hunch. Well, I have an idea. We call him Idea. Now we can go, oh, I don't want to offend God. I don't want to be, don't worry about that. Men and women, everything right now tells us in this word that he is who he is and we are the focus of his love. He is love. We're his focus. He takes great joy in us. The Bible says, he dances over us. He's excited over us. He deemed his life less than ours. He died for us. He stepped into that. so that we could step up and walk away from it for all eternity. He paid the price totally. And then he took the keys of death and hell himself, not qualified to be death, and took back the lordship of it all. Remember how the Bible talks about that the devil is the prince of the power of the air and the owner of the internet? I mean, he don't say that. It says the prince of the power of the air and the mainstream media. He don't say that either. He just says, we think, well, it's all happened. Jesus is Lord of the air now. The devil's walking around seeking whom he may devour, and we have the weapon to tell him whom he can't. We don't need to be a whom that's devoured. You meet them every day. You can see people every day that they've been earmarked. They've been mostly by their own decisions. You know, humans are our own worst enemy. We give the devil far too much credit. Well, the devil is on me. He must know who I am, my date. We give him God-like qualities sometimes. But we have to remember, he's not Lord. He's still loose for a season. There's still temptation in the earth. There's still sin. Sin is made by mistakes. Sin is made on purpose by believers and unbelievers, and the blood covered it all because it said he paid the full price, top to bottom, side to side, inside and out, up and down. There's a scripture in Isaiah that talks about the Lord being your rear guard. Just on and on, he's totally encompassed. All for us, so we can have a glorious life. When we all get to heaven, well, you're already a part of heaven. So make that day of rejoicing now. Now. The kingdom of God is where? Out there. No, in here. He makes his home. He abides in us. Did you know that we're one with him? Now, our spirit isn't like that. Every day gets up and growls like the little kid in the wedding. Ah! That's why the Bible says crucify the flesh every day. Right now, it's still weaving and working. You put him down one day, tomorrow morning, you're going to be tempted with this and pulled that way and feel this way or whatever. But the constant through it is his love, and we're a part of, not just a part of him, we're his body in the earth. We can begin that glorious life, not just so we have more that's in this world. We don't need more of what this world has. We need more of him. And let the world see that in us and pray for the wisdom and discernment so we can present it in a way that they will want it. Now, some people won't. Some people reject it, even if you do reject it the way they want it, but they'll never forget it. You know why? Because the word does not return void. It will accomplish what he sent it to. It will accomplish. Not it might. We measure it sometimes into it might be years. Well, years doesn't matter. It will accomplish it. You can have faith that it will. If you do a kind, godly thing in the name of Jesus for someone, there will be a positive result somewhere in that weaving of working out. The first result, you might get a slap in the face. The devil won't like that. It'll make you mad. Excuse me. Be mad over there. We're going to do this. Are you making light of the devil? Don't have to. Got God's armor on. Oh, it doesn't fit. He doesn't know that. He just sees the same armor when Jesus rose from the dead. Continue to be that vision. Continue to live that glorious life. If you've never heard it this way before, make a decision today. Today I'm going to live that glorious life. Lord, I agree with the prayer of Paul here that you give me discernment and wisdom to know these things, to know your love more, so that I can be the conduit to the earth, to those who I live right beside and work with. So if you're going to seek what the will of God is, those that's right beside you. Let your body, the body of Christ, be him to them that they may know him. We're not responsible to clean them up. We're not responsible to judge. We may have opportunity to do some correcting, discipling. You know, we want to disciple new Christians. Disciple and discipline are the same words in many languages. And how you do that is you have the discipline of living it so they can see it in you and hear it in you, and then they accept it in him. That's how you make disciples. You don't just teach it, preach it, just all talking and never let them see it. The words are important. But remember, the scripture said that his words and actions, that the body, his body is the word and actions in the earth. And that's us. That's a glorious life. And now when all this news comes barreling into you by choice or by force, of how horrible the world is, just remember that a lot of what you're hearing is just a foreshadowing and talking about events that the Bible already talked about. None of this has taken God by surprise. But thank God he's equipped us to be champions in a world where it looks defeated, to be victors in a world where losing and division is the emphasis. But he will come for his bride. He will say, he already has said yes to anyone who would come to him. So what I want to do is pray for you, that we would have that discernment, that we would get that intelligence, that discernment, God-like, the mind of Christ intelligence, discernment, so that we can begin to enjoy the glorious life right here, right now, in the middle of all this, because we're the light in this darkness that make us anything special. It makes us very honored that Jesus has found us. Now we can make that light burn brighter to reach others. Because he loves them. He loves us all. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, not the dirt, not the planet, the people, that he gave his only begotten son. He became a human son and came to the earth. And then he paid the price, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Everybody's part of this tapestry, this working out. And he is in us, so he is their answer. So let's allow him to be that. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we're grateful for your mercy, the opportunity we have to love and to share one another. Lord, we confess that we know we fall short many times on a daily basis when in the weaving of this work you're doing in each of us to save all of us. Lord, we make mistaken choices. We've made bad choices. We've done wrong things on purpose, trying to figure out and justify our way through. But help us come to realize through intelligence and discernment, like Paul prayed, to have the mind of Christ and to be the love of Christ, that we can be seen in that light. And that might not make some people happy, but your word won't return void, and it will bring and accomplish what you intend it to do if we'll just begin to live and accept the glorious life, a life free of fear, a life free of doubt, a life abundantly free. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. And there's therefore now no condemnation to them who love Christ Jesus, who walk not in the flesh but in the Spirit. So Lord, help us to be smart enough to decide to walk in the Spirit. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this glorious life and this blessed opportunity to share your word. And I know that it'll bear seed, it'll bear fruit, because your word doesn't come void. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.